This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
Bringing interviews, inspiration, and information to encourage, refresh, and equip you to embrace the deep, to find your truest story, your truest message in the deep places.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download, 5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com. Welcome, writers, to the deep. We're glad you're here with us. We love that you join us. So if there's one thing we know for certain about the publishing industry, I'll tell you this. It's always changing.
Yeah.
That's what we know for sure. It never stays the same. Just when you think you have a contract, the publishing company closes or changes direction. Just when you think you have a writing schedule, like you break your arm or your shoulder, Karen. Just when you've built your huge audience on Facebook, they change the rules and no one sees your posts. Okay. Just when you decide to go indie, some agent suddenly expresses interest in shopping your manuscript to a publisher, or maybe you've just finished your YA dystopian and you find out the market dries up. That's the deal.
So, you know, guys, we all love comfort and predictability. We keep trying to dig in and settle down, but here's the problem. We're living in an unpredictable environment, especially in the writing world.
So let's look at people in the Bible times, right? Because we're not the only people who have been living with unpredictability. And the Israelites experienced this. Go back to Numbers, you guys. That's in the Old Testament. This little known book, I think. People don't read these too often, but these are some of my favorites. So in Numbers chapter 9, we get the summary of how the Israelites live. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night, it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. So get a picture here, you guys. It's, hey, we're camping here for how long? I don't know. Will we leave tomorrow? I don't know. Will we leave in the next morning? I don't know. Should I cook that thing that's going to take 3 hours? I don't know. We might be leaving in the next 10 minutes. They don't know where they're going tomorrow. They don't know how long they're going to be there. They don't know how far the next watering hole is going to be. Did they need to ration water? You know, they didn't know if they were going to find enemies or what have you, right? Think about how long they lived this way, this nomadic way. But what did they have? They had the presence of the Lord. And what did they do? That's in the next verse, 9:23. It says this: at the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. So the key word here I'm sensing is obey, 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 because God already had the route planned. But their journey, it's not easy. None of it is easy, but God knows what's important on the journey. God knows how long they need to stay. He knows everything that they need to do. So their job is simply to be obedient. That's all they needed to do. And why we can learn from this, you guys, why we're telling you all this. These guys were nomads, okay? They lived a nomadic lifestyle. They didn't have this death grip like we have today on our preconceptions and on our plans and on our goals and on that manuscript we've been clinging to year after year after year. We can learn a lot from these guys. We are missing out on the blessings of a nomadic lifestyle when we try to cling to what we want, what we think we know.
There are other ways to learn from the nomadic lifestyle. Consider the story of Peter and Cornelius in the church at Antioch. Peter's whole understanding of what was clean and what was unclean was flat out shattered when that angel came and spread out that sheet and told him to eat and partake. I mean, talk about an unexpected change. He thought he could count on that as truth. He had that death grip on his preconceived understanding of what was and wasn't clean in God's eyes. But now God was saying that the message was for Jews and Gentiles, that the message of the gospel and the freedom that came with accepting Christ was for Jews and Gentiles, and that he was the one who said what was and wasn't clean, and he was now declaring that these things were clean. And think about the change, the unexpected shift for the Gentiles. They hadn't been hearing the gospel preached because the understanding of the Jewish believers was that it wasn't for the Gentiles. But now, not only did the chosen know it was, but the Gentiles knew it was. And when they heard it, they changed. They accepted the truth of the gospel. And when the church in Jerusalem hears what's happening, how so many Gentiles were coming to faith in Christ, what do? They send Barnabas to see everything that's happening. Yeah. Now, in reading that, you might think that they're sending Barnabas to put down what seems to be wrong, but that's not the fact at all. Barnabas himself was Hellenic. He spoke Greek, and he was the one who was so pro preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And so by sending Barnabas, the church in Jerusalem was saying, we see this act of God taking place and we embrace it. They let go of that understanding that this is all just for the chosen people, just for the Jews. They let go of that because God was telling them they needed to. So they send Barnabas to see everything that's going on there. And here's what Acts 11, 23 through 24 tells us. When Barnabas arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy. And he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. Love that.
Yeah.
But you know, the coolest unexpected facet about this story actually comes before this in verses 19 to 22. Here's what it says. Meanwhile, the believers, the Jewish believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God. Now get this, but only to the Jews. Now verse 20 comes in now. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. Here's what I love about this. God spoke to their hearts, even as he was speaking to Peter's heart, even as he was speaking to Barnabas's heart. The horror of persecution and Stephen's death, as unexpected and terrible as that had to be, it was turned by God into the advent of his truth being brought to the Gentiles. God wasn't surprised by any of this. He wasn't surprised by the persecution. He wasn't surprised by Stephen's martyrdom. And he isn't surprised now, today, by whatever comes to you. It was all a part of his path and his plan for bringing the truth to the Gentiles. And everything that happens to you comes by his hand. And while you may not understand it, you may not even like what's happening, you can know and trust that everything that comes to you is under his control. And when we learn from the nomads, learn to hold things loosely, to yield them to God, surrender them to his will, we don't need to fear the unexpected anymore.
That's right. And, you know, go back and look at this. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered, okay, mm-hmm. to me, that's another name for who are acting nomadic now.
You know? Yes.
So let's talk about some of these things we can learn from the nomadic lifestyle. And one of the things that I want everybody to see is that This whole idea of change, you know, this applies to both good times and bad. Okay, so sometimes you're in a good spot and you like it, and the cloud moves, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, darn it, this was my best camping spot ever, and now I have to go. You know, just when we've gotten comfortable, God's like, no, it's time to go. Sometimes, though, it works opposite. You're really ready to move, and that cloud stays and stays and stays. But here's the thing, change is coming. Be ready for that. You know, it doesn't mean we bury our head until change comes. It means that we do the best we can right where we are to be faithful in the situation we're in right now, to be obedient.
Another thing that people who live the nomadic lifestyle do is that they focus on their provision for each day. They don't look too far down the road. They focus on meeting their needs in each day. We need to focus on seeing God's provision for us in each day. Take time to write down what He's doing right now, where you are, whether you're in a good place, whether you're in a tough place, whether you're just maintaining for now. Write down God's provision for you today in every moment. And then when you look back on that, you can see Him working. And you can see what He's been doing for you.
Another thing that nomads do is they just focus on going in the right direction. They don't necessarily have this detailed journey planned out every step of the way. I don't know if you guys have ever been to New York, let's say Times Square at, you know, midnight. You can't plan your way. You know, there's crowds and you're zigging and you're zagging. You're like, okay, I need to get to, you know, the corner of this and this, and I might go down this road. I might go down that road. You don't know the exact route you're going to take. You just sort of know the general direction. And in that way, you can just trust that God is going to do what He wants to do in those little things that come out to detour you, that little taxi that zooms in front of you and then you go to the side. Maybe by going down that detour, you find like this cool little cafe, or you learn this one thing down that road of trial or in that waiting place. I love how Proverbs 19:12 speaks about this. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So all we need to do is focus on going in that general direction and let the Lord's purpose for each moment do its thing in us.
It's interesting, as I listen to Aaron talk about that, it reminds me that I grew up seeing my mom and dad in their marriage, and they just had the best marriage. It was full of laughter and love, and I knew that that's what marriage was. And then when Don and I got married, we came from such diverse backgrounds. I had no clue that the path that we were set on was one that was going to be so difficult. We would end up separated for a year. We were in counseling for 20 years. We were not the kind of marriage that mom and dad had. And that was really hard for me. I held so hard to what I thought marriage should be, and we just weren't there. It took a long time for God to help me see that I needed to let go of what I thought we should be to see what we were and the blessings in who we were together, who we are together. It was only in letting go of my expectations and getting set in the right direction of surrendering to God in the midst of that relationship that we became a marriage that I look at it now, and I'm so grateful that neither one of us gave up on it. So, you know, those detours, sometimes those are actually the journey, and we don't even realize it. Another tip from the nomads is don't be weighed down by external possessions. And guys, I have a really hard time with this. Yes. I have stuffed animals from when I was a child. My very first ever stuffed animal is in my office. It was a tiger. Its neck is worn into barely nothing there because I used to clench it in my elbow. And it's still here. My husband will come in and he'll look at all the stuffed animals and he'll be like, do you really need all those? And I'm like, yeah, this one came from here and this one came from here. But you know, the nomads, they never built permanent structures and they didn't have unnecessary possessions. Everything they owned, they had to carry.
Yeah.
So instead of getting so focused on gathering stuff, gathering property, gathering whatever. Let's be focused on gaining the internal wealth. Let's be focused on learning trust, on setting out when the cloud lifts, and on being able to let go of things and instead embrace who God is wanting us to be inside.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. The nomads, they live a completely unclenched life. You know, they're not clinging to that little tiger you got over there.
Yeah.
Or my stuff. It's those internal things. Those internal things are not heavy. Those internal things, the blessings, the fruits of the Spirit, the contentment, those things are things that we take with us everywhere because they're inside.
Right.
So another thing that we can do here is don't expect an explanation from God for any of this. You know, I go back to thinking about the Israelites and they're like, okay, God, so why are we in this place for 2 days and in that place for 1 year? What is the rhyme or reason for that? And we will never understand. That's the whole point. It's like we're demanding God to answer a question that we can't answer. It's like my son, he knows so much about math and these things in math that I can never comprehend. And he's trying to explain them to me and it's pointless. And it's like we're trying to get God to explain something to us that we will never have the capacity to understand. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 makes this pretty clear. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So guys, we cannot expect or demand an explanation from God. This doesn't need to make sense to us because it makes sense to God, and we need to be okay with that.
So, in conclusion, our God is the God of the unexpected. You know, we can make plans and set goals. It's not a bad thing to do that, but hold it lightly, friends, and continually surrender those things to Him. And remember that He never changes. We may be living on shifting sands, but beneath those shifting sands is a sure and solid foundation of God and Christ, and we can rest in that. When we hold on to His truth, then when the unexpected changes hit, which we all know they will, I mean, yes, they're coming, we won't be shaken. Okay, so you may be taken aback, and it may take a little time to adjust. After all, we're human. But ultimately, we can rest in the fact that God is present in all our circumstances, that He's in control. He's the one who's having the cloud stay in place. He's the one who's lifting the cloud and telling us when to move. And we can trust Him. Like it says in 2 Peter 1, 6 to 8, learn to know God better and discover what He wants you to do. Next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have His way with you. This will make possible the next step, which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them. And finally, you will grow to love them deeply. The more you go on in this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.